Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
DJ Bunker in the house.
Yo, 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 yo. Some bitches got engaged.
I just watched. Welcome back, Trashlings. We are here to talk about the finale of The Bachelorette, aka The Trashlorette. I'm Sarah Armour. This is
Casey Bunker. And this week, Sarah revealed to me that you can watch The Bachelor on 2x speed.
Game changer.
Everything's different now. That would change the game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, part of why this is a little bit late, or you guys are on my gram, you know that I found Pool Office North Jersey, and I couldn't bear to leave. I thought, okay, I'm just going to watch when I get home. But it had not been DVR'd. And then they were like withholding the episode. I was supposed to drop at 5 a.m. on Hulu. 8 a.m. I woke up. I set my alarm for this shit. Okay. And at 8 a.m. there was no ep. And there was ABC had no ep. I don't know why.
I think it had to do with that issue with during brand. Like, I missed all of the breakup. And so did other people, at least in the Philly area. I don't know outside of that, but like I even went back because I have YouTube TV and like I even went back and tried to catch it again and it still skipped. So I missed the whole breakup. So I think someone realized that it happened at least in some areas and they were probably trying to fix it and then said, you know what? We can't even get this right. It's time to chuck something out the wall.
Well, I will say, though, when I just watched back in double speed, and I did skip after the final rose, you can fill me in. I watched a few of the clips. But I did see the whole breakup. So that is the one thing I can speak to. So that's so great. I just watched it.
Right. And after the final rose was fine, but it wasn't like a Katie Thurston, Greg Grippo moment. So, you know,
right, there was sort of like nothing to discuss. I mean, I was happy to skip it just now. You said, if you want to watch, we could talk about it. I said, no. Actually, don't want to watch at all.
Yeah.
Because I can't, I mean, I saw like 2 seconds of, because this show was like live airing. Really what they mean is live after the final rose, if that. But it's like the minute that I caught a glimpse of somebody in a Santa costume, I was like, I am not doing this.
And that's what it is. I don't know who that was, why he was involved. I don't know why they got so like holiday crazy. I guess they don't usually air it that this late in the season.
Well, and I also think they got so holiday crazy because unless there is like a Grippo Katie confrontation in the making, it's nothing but a marketing event.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
So it's like, and I don't really need the shtick. I don't need the tchotchkes. You don't need to throw me a shirt. We're not at a lacrosse game. You know what I mean? It's like.
Right. Because it's literally.
Like a cheerleader doing a pep squad thing for Bachelor Nation.
Yeah. It goes two ways. It's either the really nice, you just weren't the right person, but blah, 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 boring, boring, boring thing that it was this time with the first runner up is what I mean, or it's the Greg Grippo drama. So you get a good show or you get a so-so show. So we got a so-so show, very skippable. Let's dial it back and talk about this lovely little finale.
First of all, you were fucking right. You've been right about so many things, but you called it.
Yes.
Said that the reason that they planted Brandon early was so that he could kind of be the almost like just like a tool for confusion for Michelle in these final moments, because he met the family first. He had a relationship with them. This is now time too. The family's like, we want Brandon to be part of our family. I mean, I couldn't believe how much LaVon loved Brandon, you know?
So much.
Funny that her name is LaVon, just side note, not what I would have guessed. Looks like more of a Janine, but okay. So
definitely more of a Janine vibe there.
LaVon.
Tricky LaVon.
Uh-huh. But no matter. I was blown away that she was so pro Brandon.
Seriously got won over by his charms. And I will say, we've been watching him talk to Michelle all season, so I didn't quite put together that he is that like kind of flirty with everyone, I think, or at least every woman. His kind of hushed tones, and I just think your daughter could be so great with everyone. And I was kind of like, you know, Brandon, you don't need to flirt with Mama Bear.
Some Mama Bears want to be flirted with.
You well, know, that's what it is.
I think she's a flirty bitch. And I think she was like, I think he did charm her. She did win. I mean, that's where Brandon's chart is. I want to say, after watching this episode, I wholeheartedly believe that he is Aquarius moon for a few reasons.
Okay.
Because he's a Leo sun. So he is flirty. He is like, you know, he's expressive. He's lovable. He's childlike. Yes. The reason I think he's an Aquarius moon, two reasons. Number one, because oftentimes when the moon, when Saturn is transiting your moon on an inner level, and so Saturn is in Aquarius currently.
Yes.
Oftentimes when Saturn is transiting your moon, a number of things can happen. But in this case, you know, Saturn makes things really serious. It's asking for maturity. It's asking for commitment. So I think on a soul level, Saturn was basically, that's part of where he was like, I am marrying this woman. Like he was feeling this. Because the whole episode to me was pretty cringe. Because we all knew what they, well, I don't know if we all knew. We, the Trashler Nation, knew because you told us. And you were right. So we were just watching this unfolding of like, he's just like, the mom and dad are so in love with him. And it's exactly what you fucking said. And
this whole thing with them being like, he's just like dad. He's just like dad. I'm like, okay, dad seems pretty great and nice and stuff, but like, maybe she doesn't need someone who's just like dad. Maybe she's her own person and she can have someone who's a little like dad in some ways, a little like mom in some ways, maybe, and maybe just a little bit himself in some ways. Person doesn't need to be dad.
Right. We're not looking to just marry our parents any longer. That is a paradigm shift that we are begging you to make. Become your own person, find your own partner, which we do see in the end. Michelle does. But right. The family's insistence on he's just like us. Brandon and Michelle barely know each other. It's been a cool 8 weeks. You guys met twice. Let's relax on identifying him as father. Like,
exactly.
We don't know him. We don't know him. And I hated.
Give Ephraim some more credit than that.
Right. Come on. Right. He's a special guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's like him. Okay. But I think that
you're going to say you hated something.
I hated Brandon's confidence the whole episode. That's where I do feel that what we were seeing, not that he didn't love Michelle, I think he did. But I mean, you know, when we're talking about Michelle and Brandon, we're talking about sun signs that are on television that are Gemini and Leo. These are two signs that on an ego level, in terms of performance and how they show up and show off, it is about expressing in a sort of attention seeking. I don't mean that in a bad way, but in sort of a me, like, look at me, look at you, look at us. It's emotional, it's dramatic. But I think that the seriousness, like his insistence on that being his future, that being his wife, his complete dismissal of Nate as a possibility, the, I would say, objectively more attractive, taller,
I'd say so.
Swaggerific, cooler guy in maybe every single way. He's like, nah, like, I know we're going to get married. It's like, yes, on the one hand, it was about Michelle. On the other hand, if he was a Capricorn moon, which depending on, we just don't have the time. So the moon changes.
Oh.
Like if he was born later in the day, he is an Aquarius moon. If he was born earlier in the day, he's a Capricorn moon, a late degree Capricorn moon or an early degree Aquarius moon. I think he's an Aquarius moon because a Capricorn moon, as a Capricorn moon myself, I feel that I can speak to this. What Capricorn moons care about is status and is like how you're viewed by the public. And so a Capricorn moon would show confidence, but wouldn't be so foolish
as to declare it
a win when it very obviously is a 50-50 shot and there's obviously a different, like a Capricorn moon would have known that he wasn't going to win is the truth.
That's right. And I also, I have two other thoughts on that. One thing, I think Brandon's a little disconnected from reality with the earrings and the hair, like his whole vibe, he thinks he's nailing it and it's not quite there. And I think he got a little swaggy. He got a little more swaggy in the After the Final Rose where he was working those attributes more. And I was like, I don't mind the earring so much now. It still wouldn't be my cup of tea, but I think there is a disconnect for him there where he is just so confident. And like you're saying, in what he's bringing to the table. And it's not quite what the people are going for right now. Second thing I'll say.
What the people, right. He is extremely, like, you know, he reminds me of looks wise, even though it's like a different look off, but go with me here. what was the, was it Kevin from the Backstreet Boys?
Yes.
You know what?
Yes.
He has a Kevin from the Backstreet Boys vibe.
Just like a such specific look that he's loving.
I'm picturing like long cargo shorts in the summer.
Absolutely.
And like a fedora
happening.
And a fedora. And like,
yes, would,
he's doing dance moves on the dance floor. Like, would, like choreographed. Yeah. He's not like grinding up behind you, letting his like chub get chub. He's, let's do the Michael Jackson dance. I said he was Michael Jackson. Sometimes he can't talk like this. I think he sort of has like a Kevin from the Backstreet Boys meets Michael Jackson vibe.
That is.
Which is not a great. He's
it's not the
be
best
cool
vibe.
He is with that combo. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Sweet angel, but not a good vibe combo. Now, the second thing that I'd like to say about that is where this false confidence is coming from is Michelle did tell him that she loved him.
I was really bothered by every time Brandon was on the screen this episode. I was looking for 3x on. I was like, get me, I've got to, this is my work, I've got to watch to talk about it, this is my, but I could skip the, I mean, it was so painful from top to bottom when it came to the whole Brandon storyline, because yeah, not only was he completely confident, but she was saying to him, why did she have to do, it's one thing to keep it with the I'm falling in love with you, because we kind of all know, we all watched 18 seasons, now we know,
right?
Like, for her to I the audacity to literally say to him, it's now changed for me, I've gone from falling in love with you to being fully in love with you, right? His confidence, even though vibes wise is not, you're going, but he's not, that's like the one thing he's not totally off on, because she
right.
said to him in the final moments, it's changed for me. I'm no longer in the phase of falling in love with you. I am fully in love with you. How dare you, Michelle?
Yeah. Heartless. Like, and usually that's such a faux pas. And especially like when guys do it, like they're already making a big deal out of Clayton doing it on his season. And like, nobody even mentioned that she did this at all. I mean, I think it's fine. Love who you love. And maybe the Gen Z crowd has a different vibe on this. And they're just very poly. And I'm not with it at this moment in time. But
so, go ahead. But I have a thought on that too.
This is a franchise that is known for tearing people apart when they do that. And it was just completely missed by everyone. And I'm curious. And Brandon didn't even seem to mind. And nor did Nate.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that based on her chart, North Node conjunct Moon in Sag, at the end of the day, I think finding a partner would probably be what aligns most with the traditional Sagittarian capital T truth.
Mm-hmm,
but as the South Node is actually today, tomorrow it moves in to Scorpio and Taurus. This is the last day. Perfect timing to even discuss this, all things considered. But this is the last day of the Gemini Sagittarius eclipse portal. 18 months of fate having its way with us in terms of partnerships and belief systems. We have a return of Ben and Jen, and we no longer believe in any political party other than the Moon Party. Come to the Moonual, okay?
So, what about Biven?
Oh, Biven. Yeah, you know, Molly always puts the kibosh on my big ideas.
Yeah, she'll do that.
I couldn't even believe, I listened to the episode, I couldn't believe I didn't even get a laugh out of her.
Like when you said, like, let Bivons be...
Five months, make a merch. Oh my God. Like Michelle, I feel so seen. Thank you, Gemini, from one Gemini to another. It is not,
oh my God,
we are here to Viking play.
That's so funny though, because that also, they kept saying, I feel so seen. I see you. Like that was Brandon's thing. He's like, from the first time I saw you, I feel like I saw you.
Right.
I was like, what?
Yeah, there's gotta be, again, as the North Node completes its journey in Gemini, let's actually work on our vocabulary a little bit, everybody. And I don't even mean expand upon it. I mean, create new language. There aren't any other words for that, really.
That's
from the moment I laid eyes on you, I felt that I could see into your soul. I mean, maybe this is where efficiency isn't the goal and we want to just use more words to try to just have a little bit of variety in a sentence.
Yeah, I don't know. I found him and Nate both, like, just and her as well, like during the after the final rose, I found everyone to be very like talking in platitudes and cliches, like for this whole episode and maybe the whole season. And I'm like, just keep it real, guys. But I think that might be a pre-Saturn return kind of vibe where they're like, this looks great. This, like, you know, and not just being like,
well, so
yeah, I saw
thing.
Her and I met and I knew I wanted to like be with her.
So I didn't watch the After the Final Rose. I so you, I did watch the house thing. We'll get there, but you can tell me more if it's interesting. But here's the thought that I did have as the nodes are about to shift. You know, regardless of the way that we perceive marriage as a culture.
Yeah.
It is highly likely, based on the astrology, that we are going to start living, despite all COVIDs, it's highly likely that we are going to move into a future where communal living, community is that is what we learned this Gemini season, right? This did feel like the zombie apocalypse, and we found out who was in our quar pod, or who's in our base camp during the apocalypse. So, and I think that polyamory, which is an interesting, what we may think is a very new concept, but the truth is, it actually just covers for what I think is a very normal problem in marriages, which is it can be boring, and it's boring. It's not that exciting once you know what you're getting. There's a lack of desire when you're with someone every single day. I mean, I don't know. I'm not married, but like, it's interesting. In my coaching practice, I work with a number of married people. They're not necessarily like polyamorous per se, but there is multiple have said like, if we want to fuck other people, we can. We are open to threesomes. We're down for whatever. And I asked one of them, like, if you met someone that you liked, like, what would you do? Because I'm just curious. I'm like, what would you do? And she's like, we're married. We're staying married. Anybody else that we bring into this relationship does need to be like okay by the other. But like, we're down for a life where we can be independent together. These people are a little bit younger than us. And one of them is not. But it makes sense to me on some level. I was feeling for Michelle at the end there, like, you know what? There is a world, and again, maybe this is just because it works for me right now. There is a world that exists where you can get all of your needs met, especially Gemini to Gemini, with two different people. I have fabulous relationships with the men in my life. They are all like sort of savants, which is a huge part of my Capricorn moon Mars ego. I love people that are talented. I love people that are best, right? Capricorn. Mm-hmm. Whoop, whoop. Happy Capricorn season. But sorry, I could cut that out. That wasn't the best, but LOL. But that's okay. That's okay. That was a little Brandon in me. That was a little Brandon moment in me. But we have a little Brandon in us, right? But it's like, I don't think it's like when you really fall in love, no one else exists anymore. I think you can love multiple people. I mean, maybe there is a difference between that feeling of in love, which I think when we're saying that, what we're describing is actually more of an infatuation. Like, it's like a, you're the one I am obsessed with, or you're the person who I am in love with. But at the end of the day, in love is a commitment. It's a choice to remain committed to working on this relationship. And you're so in love that you choose to do the work of loving each other. And in that case, I think it is possible to fall in love with multiple people. And I think it's possible to love multiple people. And I don't think it has to be like secrets in hiding. I think, you know, I mean, these two actually were pretty comfortable together being her two boyfriends. I mean, they didn't seem to have too much. In fact, they barely saw each other, right? Like, they didn't seem to have too much animosity between them. They weren't jealous of each other. They really actually functionally as a tripod were kind of fine, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I didn't think that she was wrong to tell him how she felt, except that this ends in an engagement and she fucking knows that.
Right. You're setting the man up for failure. If it was normal life and all parties were consenting to this and we were going to carry on in this way, which also we'll get to when we talk about Clayton's preview during after the final rose. But then yeah, like, do your thing, have your fun. But this is, you know, the Bachelor franchise. Like,
right. It just seemed mean. It seemed mean of Michelle to do that.
Yes. And especially because she's freaking out of his league.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. How could we all be? You know what I feel was happening? I do think I don't think she fell in love with him. I think that was a lie. But I do think she came to love him deeply.
Yes.
And she does love him. And I think that
it's what I said a few episodes ago. The vibe that I was getting watching it was that she was being sincere, but it was almost one of those things where it's like, have me on record.
Like, make sure that you know that I did fall in love with you, even if I don't pick you. Like almost like not guilt or obligation, but just like,
I do care. I don't want to break your heart. So until the moment that I have
to, the gold star, the teacher giving the gold star.
Right. I'm going to keep saying good work, Brandon. Good work, Brandon. Good work, Brandon.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that I see you. And you got an A in seeing me too. And that is, and I think she was really trying to almost like over appreciate him. I don't think she took more than 5 seconds to decide. I think it was a lock a couple episodes ago.
Right. Yeah. I had forgotten too that Nate got the first impression rose.
I know when they said that at the very end, I was like, it was always Nate. It really was always Nate.
It was.
And you know what I found out? It's what I said too. I said, I have a feeling because of just how cool he's being. He never applied to The Bachelor. He was at a pool party with someone who was applying for The Bachelor. The guy didn't get picked, but the girl was like, we're looking for X, Y, and Z types. He submitted Nate.
Oh my gosh.
Nate turned the show down twice.
Love that.
Going after him, saying, we got to get you on the season. We got to get you on the season. Finally, shocked to me because his parents seemed to be completely dead in the heart until the moms met. But it's like all of his friends, according to the robot voice on the video I watched, all of his friends and family urged him strongly to do the show. And in the end, he decided, like, you know, fuck it. You know, let's have an adventure. The other thing that I learned about him is that it's Nate. Okay. It's Nate that he had never had another relationship before. It's that his parents had a rule that you're not allowed to bring girls home until after you graduate from college.
Oh.
They are so head in their ass, this family. Like, them going, he's never been in a relationship. It's like, actually, mom. It's like my mom being like, don't smoke pot until whatever. It's like, okay, I'm going to lie to you about smoking pot until this.
Done. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, we were gonna wonder a little bit if the producers like kind of started feeding this narrative to those parents, to Michelle's parents, to like herself, and kind of just were like, do you think he's ready though? Like, because to me it was like, I think we're being a little hard on Nate here. Like, it doesn't seem like he's not that ready. Which, like,
The way that we're talking about how like he was not that quick to open up. I don't know. I think he's been really vulnerable and sincere. He's not on The Bachelor because he wants to be. Universe and there's more to discuss because this, I actually think this is fate working, just as the Gemini Sag eclipse cycle becomes no more for another 18-19 years. They had to get this bachelorette season in because I think this is gonna work. I think, remember we looked at their charts, they were a Gemini 29 degree pair, you know,
right?
He's a Gemini Sag, he's a Cancer, which means that he's sort of like a home base. That's why I kind of also thought if she really was also in love with Brandon, he may be able to handle, he may be secure enough. And, you know, a new moon in Cancer, after everything that Cancer and Capricorn have been to, it is going to be a new paradigm in terms of like the family structure, the family unit, the community operations. I'm not saying that we're all going to be like Mormon polygamists, but I do think that farm life and communities where there are more than one, even if no one's fucking each other, you know, having next door neighbors that feel like your other parents, and really, because we are in the apocalypse, and we need to actually have more than just our little like singular nucleus. That's why I like the Scorpio Taurus energy is about to get its world rocked, because if you have a lot of Scorpio in your chart, even though hypothetically,
because that's the next eclipse cycle.
That's the next eclipse cycle starting tomorrow, and it's the South Node in Scorpio. At its best, Scorpio is deep intimacy. At its worst, it is secrets, lies, and abuse of power, because you know someone's something and you use it, right? Instead of it being sustainable for all. So what's happening in the money system, aside from it being completely fucking fiction anyway and made up and the value of a dollar is fucking nil, but the reason it means so much to us as our currency is because there has been an abuse of power. Not only was the system not built to support anybody holistically, like it's specifically not built to support everybody, but when you have it, you have the power. So you're actually hoarding money, or you're taking from
others, and then you're making the rules. And so you're working with people intimately, but you're not really doing it in an actually intimate way. Whereas I think that Nate, because he's a new moon in Cancer, we already had the Cancer Capricorn cycles. Right now there is a Venus retrograde with Pluto in yes. Capricorn opposing. I think there are going to be new Capricorn public structures when it comes to love and family, because functionally, at the end of the day, even the richest people got COVID and died. And even Bill Gates is on Epstein Island. There is a huge disconnect between mm-hmm. value and values, and a huge disconnect between what we think makes us safe money versus what actually makes us safe community.
Wow.
And so, just like the ability to have a fuck pass, I think, marriage.
Yeah. I wonder if they would. So, okay. So basically this all happened around that June eclipse, which we talked about so much during our Batch in Paradise podcast.
Yep. Okay. And sorry, I keep going. Let me pull up the chart.
Yeah. And that's crazy because this Gemini Sagittarius eclipse cycle that Sarah's referencing was happening just at this time. And Michelle is a Sag moon Gem sun.
Yep.
Crazy stuff for her.
It's okay. So Nate wrote that post. He said June 9th, 2021. So we assume that's the day that they got engaged, right?
Yes, I think so. Sounds okay. Significant.
I think that we could check the toast, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was because I looked it right up immediately. So I look it up and I am grinning like the Cheshire cat hair, because on that day that we did belabor back during the days of paradise, fucking, we had the moon, the north node, the sun, and communicator extraordinaire Mercury. Mercury was retrograde, calling back old partnerships. It was a new moon in Gemini, meaning this was a whole new faded cycle of people actually connecting with their right partners. Also during that time, Jupiter, who now is about to go back into Pisces, but it was at the first degree of Pisces, giving us all a sort of glimpse of the future. But then Jupiter retrograded back into Aquarius and now everybody has COVID again, right? But Pisces, when Jupiter moves into Pisces.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Later in 2022, there will be a lifting of the sort of heavy Aquarian energy that we're feeling, because Saturn is in Aquarius, governing the people in ways that we are questioning and feeling restricted by and feeling like we don't know who to trust and there's no light in the sky. When Jupiter moves into Pisces, I do think that we're going to see the beginning of an artist revolution. It will be a, sort of a renaissance for us, because we are going to start to, Jupiter expands. What is Pisces? Big love. What is Pisces? Music, the arts. It is God. It's the universe. It is Christ conscious, universal love, higher love is the message.
And when is this happening?
It's happening. I mean, I could get the exact date. It's happening later this year, but okay. in this summer, for a very brief period, Jupiter moved out of Aquarius into Pisces. We all were like, wow, utopia exists. We all were lifted, that we all could go out again. There was partying. We weren't stuck in the house at that exact moment. And then it was like, oh, actually Jupiter is going back into Aquarius. And now we are getting the expansion of, now Jupiter in Aquarius isn't inherently limiting, but because Saturn is there and has been there, it is limiting because Saturn is daddy.
Got it.
Jupiter's yep. like flirty daddy, more of a Brandon. That's the thing. I think Nate is a Saturn daddy, just in the way that he is. I think Nate is a beautiful, divine, masculine,
representative. I think he has been so cool, so calm, collected. I do think he meditates. I also think it's kind of interesting with, I mean, again, it might have just been the producers, but it seemed, and this is a very Cancer thing, the amount of other people's shit that was being put onto Nate, I mean, yeah, everyone projected, they're like, he wasn't vulnerable. He's not really, yeah, he was so vulnerable.
I know, and like, who gives a crap about this vulnerability thing? Like, it's getting so annoying.
Well, but it's also, I mean, it, like, I actually think
it is, but
I think he was more, I care about vulnerability, but I think we're not using, that's what I'm saying, the language.
It's not, yeah.
Brandon being goo goo gaga over you isn't that vulnerable. It's actually spiritual bypassing, if you want to know what I think on a dramatic
way. I agree, because he's not like taking the time to get to know her. He's just like, nope, I'm set up. I'm
from
good.
From the minute I got here, like, he me up for life. From, he was there to find his wife, and he signed up to meet Michelle. So it really wasn't that vulnerable for him to be all in on her. That's what the fucking show is.
Right, exactly. And it was like kind of freaking fake.
Yeah.
So then there's that super cheesy letter from Brandon. I don't even want to go there. Like, that's exactly what we're talking about here. Cheesy ass letters like that that come out of nowhere. And it was so desperate. You can't.
It's so desperate. It is truly a, it's, you know what? You threw a Hail Mary pass last ep to even be here this ep. Two Hail Marys in a game, you've lost the game. You don't get two big shots to win. I mean, I guess there are like some, I don't know, sports. Maybe there's a bunch of like late game touchdowns that just change everything. But in general, this isn't sports. If
That's
she's
right.
not going to pick you, she's not going to. There's, you don't want to win your wife because the letter.
You don't want her to be like, oh, well, I was going to choose the other guy. But then you sent me that letter at the last second. So I said, I'll stick around.
Right. I mean, that could, it couldn't be less romantic. Like, he, right. That's, it's the same thing as his look, though. And the fedoras and the fucking, it's like, in your
the hypothetical
mind,
fedoras.
I don't know. I can see it so clearly now, just like he could see
so
his
clearly.
Life with Michelle. So again, it's alleged. I'm alleging it. But like, I just don't think that. Yeah, I don't think that he is that. It's not smart. It's just like
sincere. Maybe
he's not that sincere. Like, or and like, you know what? Again, that's in. Why. That's why Aquarius Moon. Leo's son, so he's like performative. I'm here for love. I'm here for marriage. But then that Aquarius moon is like, you're like, is he a lizard? Like, how could he even think? How could he feel this strongly? How could he be ignoring Nate? How could he be wearing those cargo shorts? Why would he wear fedoras when he's not on the show? I'm just kidding. We don't know about that. That is alleged. I am spreading gossip.
Why would he? Oh, why would he?
But if anybody has a picture of Brandon in a fedora, please send to spacetrashpodcast@gmail.com. I'll make it an email address. But so, point being, that Brandon is, yeah, he's Aquarius. I want to make a strong case. He is Aquarius. This was an Aquarius moon trying to play the part of a Leo lover.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, yeah. Aquarius moons, they are tapped in to the collective, but they are not that tapped in to the individual within the collective. And that's what
yes.
we're saying.
Yes, 100%. Now, fill me in on the breakup, because I was unable to access that. What they said in the beginning was like the most dramatic breakup in all of Bachelor history. Okay, well then show it to me, please.
Yeah. First of all, they made it so dramatic that they didn't show it. So how right. dramatic are you, ABC? That's what you get for fucking putting people in these positions and then like selling it. Fuck you. But okay, nobody saw the drama. You fucking dramatic fucking bitches. Anyway.
True.
Enjoy your fucking fat marketing event. Your fucking Santa, green Santa. What are you, fucking non-denominational? Fuck off. Anyway, it was deeply painful. I hated every single moment of the entire thing because we knew that Michelle was about to break up with him. She was standing there saying, I did fall for Brandon, but now I have to break up with him because Nate is obviously that dude. And so she's in the car driving up. He is like pumping his fist like, here it is, here it is. They let him pick the ring. He picked, you know, they...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Fuck them for that. But
right.
then they do something that, maybe I just didn't notice it the other seasons or what, but they do something that is so hyper-twisted. I mean, thank God he's an Aquarius moon, because he actually probably can get over this pretty quickly because they're sort of unfeeling. But it's like he gets there. He is obviously on cloud fucking nine. She
yes.
looks like she's been crying, is about to cry. There's sort of a grimace on her face. And then I believe this is the fault of the producers. He launches into his proposal. Long proposal.
They do this. They do this.
How dare they?
Yeah. And then
all
they did
season long, she is there with the roses, giving them out. This is her show.
I know.
For her then to be off the hook for choosing and to let them go through a proposal like that is cruel. Animal cruelty happening before our eyes.
I know. And I'm dying to know what they get for, like, for every second you let him talk and tell him, tell you how much he loves you, you get another $1,000 or something. I don't know.
Straight up. For her to not have, it's like a 10-minute clip. I mean, maybe they cut it down, but like during the show, I mean, I'm watching on 2X. I'm searching for 5X. I mean, get me through this. This is the most traumatic part. But then, right. There has to be some financial motivation or just some kind of like contractual obligation to hear his whole speech, because anybody with a heart.
Yeah. It's gotta be.
Anybody, she doesn't need his proposal. She knows he's gaga. It's also sort of boilerplate. If you want to know the truth, it wasn't like, he's not like a great writer. And Nate's was so floppy that it was sincere. You know, amazingly, specially, fabulously. This was very much I knew from the moment that I saw you, blah, blah, blah. Over the last 8 weeks, I have come to know that you are my wife. You know, it was like, all right. If she really did love him, as she claimed right before the commercial break, the minute he went down to get on one knee, she would have lifted him by the shoulders and said, don't. I'm so
right. Sorry. That's the problem. You did say you loved this man, and then you were down to, like, humiliate him a little bit.
Humiliating.
So what did she finally say?
She basically was like, I wasn't lying yesterday when I told you that I did fall in love with you in the end, but when it comes, you know, I will always love you. You have a special place in my heart. You know, everything I felt was real, but, like, at the end of the day, it just feels like Nate's my dude. And then he goes into really heavy Lamaze breathing.
Oh, no.
It was way too long.
Right there in front of her?
Then he threw the ring.
Is that what he threw? Because that's when it cut back in. He was throwing something. He
threw the ring. Now, we don't know the quality of Neil Lane. I imagine it's something like De Beers, because there's really, again, marketing, right? Tiffany's would never. But I can only imagine that the ring costs money to someone, which, again, we're getting over in the next, it's going to start in the next 2 years and we're going to have new currency. It already kind of started, crypto, moon coin, whatever. But
right,
it's like, dude, don't throw the ring, man. Don't throw the fucking ring, dude. You're obviously not ready for marriage if you are not responsible enough. Punch your pillow. That's what mommy said. Punch your pillow.
But then, like,
throw a cup. Throw a cup of ice.
I think the throwing kind of helped a little bit, because he very shortly after was like, I mean, I can try and chase after her, but I know it's not going to change the result.
Did he throw the ring in the ocean? Where did it go? Did it
some
break?
Some intern had to go pick it up.
Somebody had to find the ring and glue it back together to bring back to Neil.
Yeah.
That's a huge liability. Don't throw the fucking ring, bro.
Maybe that's in the contract.
With all your heart and soul, but you're not to be trusted with this, you know, $100,000, you know, prop.
Right.
Dumb.
The other thing I want to say about engagement day, why are Caitlin and Tayshia both wearing white?
Because they are dumb bitches. I'm done with Caitlin. I'm sorry that Tayshia's out.
I think she did an okay job at the after the final rose, like, by
she's
herself.
Okay. She's okay.
Right. But I enjoyed having one person there better than both of them, because the two of them together are annoying.
Well, they have no chemistry and they're as unaware as Brandon. But what I'm wondering is, where was Tayshia?
She had COVID. She got she was exposed to COVID.
Throwing this out there, no, she didn't.
Agree.
I want you to know that if I tell you I have COVID, there's a 50% chance that I don't. But I don't know how to say, I'm good on this.
Right. No. And I think Tayshia's good on this now.
I think she got broken up with. We saw her walk off last time we had a group chat that was live. She just had her engagement fail. She just didn't get chosen as the host for next season. She lost her job. She lost her man. She doesn't need to fucking go to that marketing event for ABC.
And she knows Caitlin is super excited to do it by herself. So she's like, Caitlin's I'll throw this gal a bone.
No, Caitlin has been preparing for on camera for years.
Yeah.
Her face doesn't move. Her mouth barely moves at this point. But that's not mine to judge. I just think she does look like a blow-up sex doll.
but not yours to judge.
I'm not being judgmental. I'm being more, it's more of a...
observant.
Yeah, like, it's like, you know, the sky and the ocean both look blue.
Right.
Caitlin looks less human, more like a blow-up sex doll.
Yeah, I thought she looked more human than usual last night.
Okay, so maybe but, I okay. should watch, because I'm being hypercritical, and that isn't... As we move into the next nodes, we want to actually be really open to everybody being welcome here, even if, you know, I guess it's just like, as someone who is an excellent host, maybe it's my own shit again. It's not about Caitlin. It's about the fact I'm a better host, and I have no fucking career or income. Right. Write a fucking review of the Space Trash podcast, you fucking assholes. It's the only way to monetize. Thank you.
I think other people probably have the same opinions.
I sure hope so. That's opinions my community. That's there. My community.
Yeah. Okay. So then we get the engagement with Nate.
Yep.
As I said, very cheesy platitudes from the both of them. But you know, it works out.
I thought he was nervous in a way that Brandon wasn't. I believed him. Brandon wasn't nervous. Brandon was like, "Okay, girl, here it is. It's engagement time."
Right.
And then but Nate was like. He That's was his like, voice. He was like, "Michelle, if you would actually want to marry me, I'm so fucking down." Like, I thought it was a little bit more natural. It was a little bit, "You're such a completely amazingly awesome woman." Like, it was imperfect. It was clumsy. It was genuinely giddy and excited. She was obviously down. They are a great couple. For her, she's 5'9". That's not so tall, but 6'3" is not that interesting. 6'8", she's never imagined a world. I never thought I could be in pool office in North Jersey. She never thought there was going to be someone that would actually make her feel short.
Until the eclipses came along. The
eclipses came along.
And then a hero comes along.
And then a giant hero. And then a huge... No, I need a better word. Then a... husband comes along.
Or a cancer.
Then a cancer comes... No, that's actually kind of like...
That sounds kind of good.
Yeah, but I just hate that cancer is cancer.
I know. Why is that? I've always wondered that.
I think it's because either way, it's annoying and never gives up and will attack your soul if you don't treat it right. I don't know. But it's
like turkey and turkey.
So many here and here, there and there. It's we got to redo language.
We got to redo it. It's time.
It's really time. You know, but I liked his engagement. I thought a hero came along. With the strength to carry on and fucking pick you up and spin you like a basketball over his head. He's big enough to give her an experience that she be seen. How about be seen as short? Never in her life has she met a man like Nate or as tall. They look great together.
So good.
What we found out after the show, in the clips that I saw of After the Final Rose, their moms... Now, I think this is so faded for so many reasons. Not only in their chart are they a Gemini sun. They were here finding each other. That's what this was. So that's where it's like, this is their Saturn return. And then being that example of higher love is that Saturn, right?
And being on a TV show and becoming famous is a Saturn return moment, for sure.
100%. Yes. Well, and too, I also think we got a few questions answered in the conversations with Nate, because we had said it before, with this chart, Nicole does have bigger ambition. Nicole, oh my God. With Michelle. This chart, she just messaged me. With this chart, Michelle does have bigger ambition. And it's she wants to be a principal. Now that is more of a Sagittarian role. I get, yes, she is going to be a principal. She is Principal Michelle, who's also a TV star. That's sad shit. Okay, very cool. Love. And she's teaching higher love to the youth. Fabulous. And I think it was my favorite moment of the season, period. Was when we saw Nate's mom, who has all but given up on love in general. I mean, not even with her ex-husband.
Yeah.
There's no love allowed in the house. Don't you dare bring love home. And then spreading rumors and lies. He's never even had a girlfriend. Well, actually, you told him not to tell you. So how do you fucking know? And you clearly don't know that much about love, because you're not in a relationship that's functional. And the ex-husband is here to be the father. And they had never said, "I love you," until the meet and greet. What's it called? Hometown? I mean, it's ridiculous. There's no love. There's a loveless right. life. There's a loveless life. Nate had to learn love for himself by being forced to go on The Bachelorette with it. Thank God a preschool teacher was there to be like, Nate, is it A, B, or C? But ultimately, he's game for it. A cancer man, double cancer man. He's strong. His heart, he is a safe space, and he's open to learning and growing. He's just a kid after all, but a big, tall kid. That's perfect. But then after the final rose, they were like, how's it going, blah, 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 how are your families? And then they do a shot to the audience. And they might as well have been Frenching. These moms were sitting arm in arm, like Bert and Ernie, like with their arms. Oh, they were hugging during the
besties.
Besties. This was what Nate's mom needed so bad. Not only does your son do love, miss, he's a gorgeous 6'8", sweetie patiti. This guy's fucked before, okay? But also, you can find love too. And you might not have any friends or love. Now your child is leading the way. Cancer, the eclipses for Cancer were a couple, you know, actually around the time of the divorce was when the Cancer eclipses were. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Your son going to be the new seed, okay? But you are watching yourself be wrong on national television where your son did find love, is giving the world
gorgeous
hope. And we love. You have a friend.
She was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, man. It's not going to be the husband.
She's
the
got
husband.
A buddy. And it turns out.
Or the sterile home. It's going to be LaVon.
Right. And we finally found out that Nate is actually from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Not actually Austin, Texas, which I did clock earlier. I said, he said he moves a lot, but they didn't tell us that. So actually that's like a similar climate to Minnesota. And as they said, like, it's like a 5-7 hour drive.
It's actually healing his family on such a deep level because, I know, he escaped Winnipeg. You couldn't be farther unless you go to Mexico from Winnipeg than yeah. southern Texas, okay? This brings him up north, right? The climate's the same. Now his family is actually seeable, drivable. You could drive there. Another win for mom. You know, you got your kid back. You got your kid back. You got your soul back. You want to know something else? I found out. What? She is a teacher.
Wow. It's perfect. It's so full circle.
So, I mean, the karma is complete. Now, what I'm thinking, Brandon and Nate's mom.
Now you're getting to.
I know you've seen the commercials. Are you a senior citizen looking for love and want to do the senior citizen bachelorette?
Right.
I think before Nate's mom embarrasses herself, we should introduce her to Brandon, because at the end of the day, he's ready for marriage. And he didn't care.
He loves a mom.
He loves a mom. We saw him getting down on LaVon. LaVon is the ultimate teacher of love, because we do know from Michelle's retelling the story, she went out of her way to stand for love at a time where people were acting outwardly racist about interracial couples. And she was like, nah, this my dude. And then they were in this white community where they had these two beautiful goddess daughters, and LaVon raised two girls to believe that love is real. And I think she is, you know, I would love,
she's sort of a good friend for
yep
really good friend for Nate's mom.
The friend Nate's mom, again, could have never even imagined. The one thing I can tell you about Canada, from what I understand, unless they live like in the city, it seems like they have more land between homes.
Yes, certainly does.
So it's like in Minnesota, yeah, it depends, even if you're heartbroken, you see people around.
Like a 7-hour drive down to Minnesota ain't much, you know, at that point.
Well, now with a friend, but it's worth it.
With a friend and a house.
A friend and a house and your child. She going to America. She going to meet a new man.
Yes, she is.
Amen. Or she's going to meet Brandon.
Or she's going
to Brandon's going to be like, I just want to be close to Michelle if I can. So I'm also moving to Minnesota too, in case she does want to do that Gemini Aquarian thing and be poly with me, and I'll just fuck her on the side when she's available, because eventually she'll be my wife, I guess. And then that's when we'll give her a little glow up, Nate's mom. And also Nate's mom and LaVon look at, what's Nate's mom's name? I don't know why, because LaVon was such a name, but they look exactly alike.
Yes.
Like, if Brandon liked Michelle's mom, he also likes Nate's mom. They're the LaVon. Same fucking type.
Yeah.
So the last thing is the down payment. So I didn't watch payment. This part. Tell the people what I missed, what we missed. Woo.
So they were gifted a gingerbread house. Inside the gingerbread house was a check for a down payment on a house. I don't think we got to see the exact amount, but this was new. this was not something that's normally done. And my brain immediately went to, what are the producers trying to pull off here? And what I think they're trying to do is keep this couple together at all costs, because every other couple for the last couple Bachelor Bachelorettes has had a big breakup, split up drama. Okay, Matt James and Rachel got back together. It was ugly in between. Chris Harrison lost his job in the interim. Whoa. But everyone else has been breakup. So I think they go, you know what? The ring obviously wasn't enough for these doofuses. We got to get them into a 30-year mortgage and keep this shit going. And they're like, for us, it's going to cost what? What did they probably give them?
Well,
70
so
grand.
Where my head went, where I
50
thought.
Grand.
Well, I just feel like, what are they, like, logged into their Zillow? They don't know. Not only do the producers not know what would, they don't know what financial markets these two are in. They don't know what.
They didn't say the down payment. They said a down payment. Like, it could be. Like, there's a reason we didn't see the number. You know what I mean? They're just giving them something to be a down payment, but to lock them in.
You know what it's like? My grandmother does this sometimes where she gives me, sort of has the appearance of being cash, but it'll be like, here's money for the sweater. And then I'll be like, thank you so much. And then it's like, I buy a bag of weed. I get an expensive meal or whatever. And then she texts me like, send me a pic of you in the sweater. And it's like,
yeah.
No, I think they use that will, and you thought it should be for the sweater, or right. This is like, you can only use this money for the down payment to your home. And the same thing is with the ring. What did you tell me before that? Like, there's like a contract that like you
have to stay together.
You have to stay together and or be at least together for 2 years in order to own the ring or something like that. Because I feel like even if I was going to break up, as somebody who is an eighth house hustler, you know, I don't have any resources other than all of you beautiful people's ears and minds and hearts and your reviews on the Space Trash podcast. But it's like, if I had a ring that then would be mine to own with this person, I would tough it out. That's where I would do faux polyamory. And I would say, we are together for this marriage at the end.
That would come out in the press.
Yeah, but in the modern age, can't say
right,
shit.
Right. And going forward.
No, I would look, if we're going to play the game of marriage as it was, old paradigm marriage, the first rule of old paradigm marriage is business. So if you're going to get engaged, I don't care if you get married. I don't care if you ever sleep in the same bed, but you had better agree for 2 years to play house, or at least to make it nice so that you can split the winnings in the end. That's the gamble you take going on reality TV. You don't actually have to be the loser and lose it all. You can fake it for 2 years and make it after. I think you're totally fucking right, and you really are the fucking Bachelor Nation sleuth. You are on
whisperer.
You're the whisperer of the nation. No, whisper. You are right. They were actually trying to keep this couple together, and here's now. It's not reparations. It's financial pressure, is what it is.
Yep. 100%. Okay. So basically that takes us to our last bit, which was tying up. Here's what my notes are about Clayton, and then we'll let y'all go. Lots of tears, lots of travel. Maybe it all ends in a quadruple.
Tears, travel, and threesomes? This sounds like
no,
my
foursomes.
Fantasy life.
Foursomes.
Wait. So we actually got I guess I'll have to watch, but we got the impression that they all fucked each other?
No. But I'm just, stirring the pot a little bit.
Dude, but what if? Now that's a scene. If the Bachelor franchise wants to remain
relevant,
they're going to have to start fucking each other.
Definitely. Bringing a lot of travel back into the scene is going to help. But polyamory and travel, I mean, I'm watching.
That's the show. That's the show. What I do want to say, though, is like, you're so right, though, that the travel is, because even just thinking about that, it's like, of course he's falling in love with all of these people. And even it was like, of course, in Mexico, Michelle was like, I do love you. I am in love with you. Because, right, like the allure of like being in like a place that's like so fucking beautiful. You've never been there before. Right. The feelings are just so heightened that like, yeah, I mean, I do hope that we see all of those five people fuck each other. I hope that we see Clayton really fall in love. But you know what? We're moving into a new age of Aquarius. I hope it's with a couple. And the North Node's about to be in Taurus, which is sustainability.
Okay.
If he leaves with two wives, it's okay with me.
All right. Well, January 3rd, people. We'll see it happen there. That's our show for Michelle season. It's been lovely.
I know. Happy birthday, Sag Gemini. And did you get your hair done? Your hair looks great.
Thanks. I did get it done.
Oh, I love it. The length is so cute.
Thank you.
And the color looks gorgeous. It's fabulous.
Oh, you're too good to me.
You two are Barbies. I love them all, Shines. Okay, bye.
You're our third Barbie.
Teresa. Teresa from New Jersey.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.